What's up, dudes? For this episode of the Rockney Cast, I'm going to cover the book Deep Work by Cal Newport. This is a really, really good book, and it should be on all of your reading lists. We're going to explain first what deep work is, why it's so important, some tips to how to implement it in your own life, and then a few takeaways you can get in your everyday creative life. So let's first define what it is in this book by Cal Newport. Deep work is that 2 or 3 hour time period where you can get in a state of deep concentration. Some people refer to it as a flow state, so that you can do your poetry, do your podcast, do your artwork. And this is, I think, something that everyone innately craves. They crave the ability to be creative. I think this is within everyone. But so many people fail to write that novel. So many people fail to write that screenplay. So many people fail to do that podcast that they've always been wanting to do, or that creative thing. And they have a lot of excuses as to why they don't do it. And so for this episode, we're going to kind of get into this book. I'm going to read a selection for it and just explain why deep work is so important. For the longest time, I think there's kind of a mismatch. And I know that this was true in my own life. There was a mismatch between what I thought would make me happy and what actually would make me happy. So, like a lot of you, a lot of people think that the ultimate state of bliss is to be relaxed, just chillaxed, sitting on the beach, listening to the waves, and drinking, and just kind of tuning out and have no schedule and just kind of do whatever the hell you want every day. You just kind of wake up and just kind of chillax out, man. Just chillax out, just kind of like smoke a reefer and just relax. And you crave that. And usually the reason why you crave that is because it's kind of an antidote to, if you are working, to the intense stress associated with work. And so when you have unmitigated stress, nothing seems better than not having that stress. And so you would think that the opposite of that is not working and not having stress, right? So one of the reasons why deep work is so important, because it helps you ask yourself the right question. When you have a lot of angst in your life or a lot of misery, the question always is why? And a lot of times it's you have too much stress, not enough time, and you're not able to do the things that you actually want to do. And a lot of times, for a lot of people, whether they know it or not, they want that deep work time, whether it's the time to just go fishing unencumbered by the boss, the ability to go on a walk, to let your mind wander, to be in a state, yes, of relaxation. But the solution to this is not just total unstructured free time. The solution to this is actually, how do you get yourself into the flow state? Because I think when people talk about what they actually think makes them happy, it's not working. And it's not having no stress in your life. That is not the path to happiness. The path to happiness is to be able to have purposeful, productive work in which you can unlock your faculties. And in order to be able to do that, you need to have a certain amount of flow. And what is flow? And this is a book that I am definitely going to read. I have no idea how to pronounce the author's name, but it was a book written in 1990 by a professor from, I believe it was Columbia University. I'm not sure, but I think it's Mikhail. It's like Chezent Mihaly. But that talks about the benefits of why people are actually happy when they're getting a flow state. And deep work is sort of how you get that to be able to unlock your creative potential. So let's just read a little bit from this particular passage of the book. And he talks about the connection between deep work and flow. The connection between deep flow, Newport writes, deep work and flow should be clear. Deep work is an activity well suited to generate a flow state. The phrase used by Csikszentmihalyi to describe what generates flow include notions of stretching your mind up to its limits, concentrating and losing yourself in an activity, all of which describe deep work. And just as we learned, flow generates happiness. They've actually measured this. Combining these two ideas, we get a powerful argument from psychology in favor of depth. Decades of research stemming from Csikszentmihalyi's original ESM experiments validate that the act of going deep orders the consciousness in a way that makes life worthwhile, and I would add, happy and purposeful. Csikszentmihalyi even goes so far as to argue that modern companies should embrace this reality, suggesting that jobs should be redesigned so that they resemble as closely as possible flow activities. Noting, however, that such a redesign would be difficult and disruptive, Csikszentmihalyi then explains that it's even more important that the individual learn how to seek out opportunities for flow. This ultimately is the lesson to come away from our brief foray into the field of experimental psychology. To build your working life around the experience of flow produced by deep work is a proven path to deep satisfaction. So that's the why question. Why you need to embrace deep work, because it's so essential to unlocking the best version of you. And for some of you who are saying, like, ew, well, how do I get that done? I don't have time. I'm too busy. Bullshit. You're not too busy. I'm busy. I got a ton of things on my hopper. I got a ton of things in the coming month. I've had a really busy week, because one of the aspects of deep work that's very, very important to remember is that deep work cannot only be about you. You always have to make sure that you are the best version of you so that you can serve other people. So I've had an extremely busy week this week, but yet I've taken the time to do the deep work. Why? Because deep work and being able to produce the podcast for you centers my mind, calms my mind, focuses my mind, and makes me more neurologically resilient for the stresses for the day ahead. So rather than taking away from the work that I have to do throughout the day, it actually enhances it. It actually sharpens it. It actually brings it greater clarity when I'm doing the same skills that I use in terms of my deep work, creative work. You know, when I'm producing this podcast, I can translate that to my legal work, because your deep work abilities is just like a muscle. It is something you practice. And so that's why I've made sure that every day I do the deep work, and then I try to get up really early so that I can work this concentration muscle, that I can set my mind, and then I can unlock the best version of me. You know, my numbers in this podcast have not been super high, but yet for me, the purpose and the act of creating is focusing on what you can control. I cannot control whether a gazillion people listen to this podcast, but I can control my creative acts, and I can control my consistency. And I think in order to do any type of creative work, you have to be able to develop a structure, a routine, and a series of work habits that will allow you to be this great creative person that most people seek. I mean, people talk about being creative. I think we're all creative. I think we're all born with a sense of wonder that we have when we're 5 years old. I think we all have a sense of play and wonder and to be able to unlock the best version of us. And he gets into this. So he offers some tips and some takeaways that you can embrace to develop your deep work philosophy. So here, Newport gets into, I think, a great portion from probably one of my favorite writers. There's not a lot of really good writing and thinking, David Brooks. And here Newport writes, in a New York Times column on the topic, David Brooks summarizes this reality more bluntly. Great creative minds think like artists, but work like accountants. And so that's why I'm like, hey, you know what? If I want to be a podcaster, I got to be consistent. People have to be able to depend upon me. Then I have to be able to produce the great work for you every single day so that you can rely on this high quality content that I'm producing for free, because it's the essence of what I was put on this earth to do. So here he gets into the actual details of how to do deep work. Newport writes, this strategy suggests the following. To make the most out of your deep work sessions, build rituals of the same level of strictness and idiosyncrasy as the important thinkers mentioned previously. There's a good reason for this mimicry. Great minds like Caro and Darwin didn't employ rituals to be weird. They did so because success in their work depended on their ability to go deep again and again. There's no way to win a Pulitzer Prize or conceive a grand theory without pushing your brain to its limits. Their rituals minimize the friction in this transition to depth, allowing them to go deep more easily and stay in the state longer. If they had instead waited for inspiration to strike before settling into serious work, their accomplishments likely would have been greatly reduced. There's no one correct deep work ritual. The right fit depends upon you and the type of project pursued. But there are some general questions that any effective ritual must address. So here he gets into some of the details, and I'll offer them for you. Where your work and for how long? And I would say when. So where's your creative space going to be? And in my particular case, it's my office. It needs to be quiet. There needs to be no distractions. And you need to be able to identify that this is the place that you go to create. And don't turn on your cell phone, totally unplug, and make sure that you can absolutely create. Now, I think the big impediment to that for a lot of people is distractions. And distractions can be very, very difficult. But what I've really noticed, I think the even more important question related to that is when you'll do your work. I basically don't think it's really possible to do really good, creative, deep work unless you have a really early morning routine. So it has to be in the morning, and it has to be at a predictable time and place, because morning lends itself to productivity, quiet, tranquility, and most importantly, a well-rested mind that is jacked up by that good, strong, vibrant cup of coffee that you might have. So people have different deep work routines, but I think that is really important to be able to identify that place, that location, and the when questions. And the important thing is what you need in terms of being able to start your deep work routine. And then he talks a little bit about how you'll work once you start to work. Your ritual needs rules and practices to keep your efforts structured. For example, you might institute a ban on any internet use or maintain such a metric as words produced in a 20-minute interval. Without this structure, you have to mentally litigate again and again what you should and should not be doing during these sessions, and keep trying to assess whether you're working sufficiently hard. These are unnecessary drains on your willpower reserve. And then third, he says, your ritual needs to ensure that your brain gets the support it needs to keep operating at a high level of depth. For example, the ritual might specify that you start with a good cup of coffee, or ensure that you have enough access to food of the right type to maintain energy, or integrate light exercise such as walking to help keep the mind clear. As Nietzsche said, it's only ideas gained from walking that have any worth. This support might also include environmental factors, such as organizing raw materials of a work to minimize energy dissipating friction, as we saw with Caro's example. To maximize success, you need to support your efforts to go deep. At the same time, this work needs to be systematized so you don't waste mental energy figuring out what you need to do in the moment. These rituals will help get you started in crafting your deep work ritual. But keep in mind that finding a ritual that sticks might require experimentation. I assure you that the effort's worth it. Once you've evolved to something that feels right, the impact can be significant. To work deeply is a big deal and should not be an activity undertaken lightly. Surrounding such efforts with a complicated and perhaps to the outside world quite strange ritual accepts this reality, providing your mind with the structure and commitment it needs to slip into the state of focus where you can begin to create great things that matter. Now, here I think the really key thing is that if you need to like take 2 weeks off from your family and not achieve your other obligations, then that's not a good deep work. I would affirmatively say that that's not a good deep work ritual. You don't have to do it for 75 hours, you know, a week, right? You just need to develop a routine in which you can have structure, you can have focus, and you can have a set of rules to kind of automate the creativity. I've gotten to the point now, one of the reasons why, even though I have a lot of things to do during the day, that I keep doing the podcast is that it's part of my routine. It's part of my routine. So even though I have a lot of stuff to do during the day, I have a structure that mandates that every morning I get up 4:30 or 5, have my cup of coffee. By the way, remember the Rockney Cast coffee, what I really, really love. You get some coffee, get some half and half, whisk it up, and put a little bit of unsweetened dark chocolate on it. Oh my God, the kind with low sugar, of course. You will feel really good once you start your deep work. After I have my cup of coffee, I usually write in my journal, kind of just get my mind flowing, get my mind relaxed if I'm anxious about something. And then usually I'll read a little Marcus Aurelius, a little Ruben Youngdahl, and then I try to do my daily podcast. And so it feels really good. A lot of you, if you look back at kind of when I put out podcasts, these are they're a little bit more haphazard. But, you know, after having, this is all, by the way, still generated from my afternoon of picking up sticks, you know, where I kind of allowed my mind to wander and I came across Cal Newport. I remember I had seen the book Deep Work in the New York Times review of books. I never got around to actually buying it, but it's essentially in the category of, you know, like Atomic Habits or something like that in terms of a book that can be really life-changing. I think this is probably one that I will kind of reread periodically, because I think the reason why deep work is so important, I don't think anyone that has a true deep work ritual, where they're using their mental faculties, where they are being consistent, where they're being creative and they're helping to improve the world through pursuing this flow state. You think about what the flow state is. The flow state is really one of the reasons why people get so happy when they're walking or taking a shower or just kind of relaxing, is it allows your mind to wander. And so it's relaxed, yes, but it's relaxed in service of a purpose. Because if you get so relaxed that you don't really have a purpose, what happens there? You get bored and you get restless and you get distracted. People that are bored, rested, distracted, and restless usually aren't super happy. And that can cause a lot of problems. It can cause problems in relationships. It can cause problems with substance abuse. It is very important to develop your own set of rituals to be creative. And the other thing is, for me, in terms of the deep work practice, is that it gets back to the work of Stephen Pressfield. And that's one of the reasons why I think Joe Rogan loves Stephen Pressfield so much, The War of Art. To become a writer, you have to have a daily practice. You have to have a time which you can set aside daily to do the work that you were put on this earth to do. And you have to craft a routine about it. Now, the key thing for you, though, again, I cannot emphasize this enough. This can't come at the expense of your obligations to other people. You still have to, and one of the greatest things, one of my counselor, who's no longer, well, he's a counselor, but he manages the counseling firm. But he basically said, hey, you know, plant your seeds, build your palace. You still have to have, you have to satisfy your obligations that you have. because other people want to do creative work too. So you cannot let that come at the expense of the people that rely upon you. But ultimately, the people that rely upon you need you to be in a good mental state, whether it's your client, whether it's your coach, whether it's your family, whether it's your mom, your dad, your siblings, your partner, your spouse. They need to be able to rely upon you. But ultimately, when you get those sorts of activities where you get into this flow state, Jay Shetty in the Think Like a Monk talks about the state of Dharma, or the Blue Man Group when they were talking about pursuing their own creative passions, bliss. Here's what is so wonderful about that when that's fully activated. When you fully unlock the atomic power within you, it's not about you. You create this incredible wealth for other people. When those are blocked, you create this incredible misery. Remember Proverbs 13, 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A desire fulfilled brings the abundant tree of life. When you unlock that power, it's not just about you. You create this incredible wealth for other people. And I have not done that yet. I do want to get into, I would love to be able, and so far I have not been able to do that, where I have this huge market for people that want to listen to what I have to say and create wealth based upon that. But I just read this article on this greenhouse in Cresco by this group called the Plant Peddler. And I remember these guys growing up. They had a small little retail store in like 1982. And now they're like this international plant wholesaler. And the owners of the group, they had found it. They were Iowa State grads in 1980. And it was very clear to me that they freaking loved plants and that they're never going to retire because they freaking love it. They would do this shit for free. And they went from a little retail business to a business with 100 employees doing international wholesaling in plants. And I thought, how cool is that? So, and I think everyone has this ability locked within them. And I think a lot of times the reason why we don't is we get distracted. I think as recently as 3 or 4 months ago, I kind of got sidetracked with my habit where instead of getting up and doing creative work, creative journaling, I got into the bad habit of getting up and watching TV, which has its own merits, but you don't really change your life by watching TV or watching YouTube. You might be able to get some good ideas, but you don't really do that. And I thought, especially after reading this book, I need to develop this deep work routine. And that means putting out work every single morning. That means finding this early morning time to activate my mind, to center my mind. It's almost like a meditative state that I can put this work out for you. And when I do that, I show up for my clients in a better way. I show up for my partner in a better way. I show up for people in my life in a better way when your mind is centered, when your body is balanced, and your spirit is sound. And that's really what deep work helps you do. So I hope you're able to do this, read this book. This really is a book almost as good as Atomic Habits. My daughter's kind of overwhelmed with me sharing books with her. And so I hope you're able to read this. I want to give this book to her too, so she can develop her own deep work habit. She's super creative, has ton of potential locked within her, but she's kind of like, Dad, I'm kind of drowning in books, so no more books. So I'm gonna try to hold off on that. And then he gives kind of like a final little tip that I've kind of incorporated, which is stop work at 5:30. And this is something I hope you can take this into consideration. Sometimes if you have a deadline, if it has to get done, it has to get done. So there's no doubt about that. But what I've really, sometimes people brag about working 80-hour work weeks. Well, I'm like, well, question I have for you is can you actually, can your brain function at that high level for that long? And so I don't really think that it is possible to have a 80-hour work week. You have to recover. So unless you want to go totally insane, stop work at 5:30. Have dinner with your loved one. Relax in the evening. Relaxation, here's the thing, relaxation is good. Relaxation comes when it's part of an overall deep work practice. So it really is this kind of yin and yang. There are times when your body needs to be stressed. There's times when it needs to recover. There's times when you need to work really intensely. There's times when you need to relax. And for your brain needs that recovery time, and you need that ritual to get into sleep so that you can wake up productive, ready to go each day. That's kind of the final takeaway that he gives, which is stop work. Don't work all the time. Get a routine, have a starting time, have a stop time, and when you're done, be done. So this work has actually, the reason why you're listening to this podcast right now, I'm really busy. I got a lot of stuff to do, but I wanted to make sure this is part of my routine. It's probably going to be part of my routine for the rest of my life. I'm probably going to, do other creative things too that I'm going to incorporate in my routine. There's things I still want to do. I want to write a lawyer's wellness book. I want to, I want to do a travel vlog. I think some of you would probably like that. So that's still on my to-do list. There's a lot of creative things that I want to do, but it just doesn't happen. You have to have routine, you have to have structure, and you have to have focus to actually make it done. So am I making sense? You got to have a ritual, develop it. Early morning helps. Avoid distractions, unplug from your cell phone throughout the day. Focus on the question of flow. I'm going to do a probably a book review on the book flow. And you got to be consistent, which means that you need to have consistent production throughout the day, which is going to help you unlock the best version of you. So I hope you found this particular podcast very helpful. I, in fact, am going to get to work for the rest of the day. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Hope you continue to be the best version of you. I'll include deep work in the show notes. You can click on it. If you order from Amazon, I'll get like 2 cents, but or 3 cents. I don't know what it is, but it is a way to kind of help sponsor the podcast is to click on those links so I can continue to hopefully make some money doing the podcast. So that's it for this episode of the RachniCast. Continue to look out for high quality episodes. Until next time, you and I see each other on the RachniCast.